Packers all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde is brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project? Exterior Pros and Baths is giving $3,000 off roofing, siding, windows, or bath remodels this month. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Change your grocery game plan to locally owned Century Foods, home of the best meat, freshest produce, and tastiest treats.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Oh, no.
Good morning, gentlemen. Oh. How are you?
Whoa.
I'm doing okay.
Pause.
I'm doing okay. How are you? Because you keep, from my understanding, you keep bringing up me and Joshy up on just about every show across ESPN Wisconsin.
Uh-oh.
Who are you? Will Smith?
Well, I wasn't going to slap you when I see you on Sunday, but.
Keep Josh Jacobs' name out your mouth.
Yeah, but keep Josh DiMaggio's name out your mouth.
No, I'm gonna keep. Never mind.
I've requested none of this, by the way.
Oh, I have. Guilty.
You guys, I'll tell you this, and Josh DiMaggio, not to be confused with Josh Jacobs, acknowledged that yesterday. What was the word you used? That Brian Bulaga's. Yeah, Brian Bulaga's logical, calm, reasoned take on the Josh Jacobs influence on the Packers offense was much less abrasive than the way Josh DiMaggio has gone about discussing it, which that was a trigger for me to bring up some. Yeah. So I appreciate the fact that you acknowledge that maybe your approach has been a little aggressive. But yeah, you guys, you know, I'm not a big believer in manifesting things to happen to other people, but with the amount that you guys were suggesting, I really hope that Josh Jacobs, who I had a lovely lengthy conversation with yesterday, and obviously Matt Schneidman from The Athletic was there. He took a little video at the early portion of it that people were wondering why I was wearing a Iowa State hoodie.
It looked good. It was good. It was a good hoodie.
Yeah. TJ Otzelberger, man. Pride of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Wilson Park Baseball. Once got to coach him on a all-star team. And, you know, pride of UW-Whitewater and the Cyclones coach. I think it was really interesting that Josh Jacobs acknowledged that as much as he wants to play with a game on Thursday right away, that maybe he has to fight that desire and maybe play the high side of caution. And I hope he does, because I'm very eager to see if your theory has an opportunity to be applied in a game from start to finish, how it goes.
And for those unfamiliar with the theory that was floated starting last week, Josh and I just kind of feel that they haven't been able to marry the run and pass stuff with the way that Josh Jacobs prefers to run the football, with the different blocking style, with running out of shotgun, and Matt LaFleur offense. I think he's more comfortable. I think Jordan Love's more comfortable running this offense when they could be under center a little bit more typically than when Josh Jacobs is in the game. But the fact, Jason, that he admitted, like, well, I mean, maybe I should just be healthy for that game on Thursday. Like, the second you start having those thoughts, I think he should probably just sit, right? Because I think you kind of come down on this being the helicopter dad / reporter that you are. Like, it to me, it just makes more sense to, hey, let's rest. Let's not do what we did with Brandon McManus and rush you back out there. If you got to miss a game,
here goes Gabe on the kickers again.
If you got to miss a game, you miss a game. But now we know you're good to go for the final six. Instead of, well, if you play, then it still might be good for Thursday, and then who knows what it's going to be like against the Bears the following Sunday. I guess I would just rather know, hey, for the next six games, he's good to go if he misses this game on Sunday.
Yeah, and as I said to Josh yesterday, Josh said, Schneidman asked him, you know, what's the worst case scenario? And he said the worst case scenario is I don't play on Sunday, and then I'm fully healthy for Thursday against the Lions, because I'm not, you know, I'm not missing any more games if I miss the game on Sunday. And what I said was, wait a minute, isn't the worst case scenario you play on Sunday, you aggravate your knee, and then you can't play in Thursday's game or beyond? You do enough damage that then there's question for the following Sunday. Like, again, you've got the Vikings, the Lions, the Bears, oh my, in a row here. And then you've got, you know, your two out of division games that you have left, going to Denver and then playing the Ravens. Like, that's a pretty tall order. Just play it safe, man. Like, this is Emmanuel Wilson's got this. He can handle it for one game, but I don't think anybody wants to see Emmanuel Wilson be their featured back for the final six games, because Josh Jacobs plays in this one and then really does something to his knee. And look, he has played through stuff already this year, right? Mm-hmm. He had his kind of Michael Jordan flu game, which, as I told Josh, it was a little bit disconcerting to realize that he wasn't, he was just barely born for the Jordan flu game. And then he played with the calf injury where we didn't know if he was going to play in Arizona, right? So, you know, he said basically he hasn't been healthy since before the Dallas game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then maybe it's okay to take a beat, have a meal, and not play in one game.
Do you think, and I guess it's because it's football, so it's a completely different mentality, but this just popped into my head, Jason. Do you think especially once we go to an 18th game, which I think everybody agrees is eventually coming in the NFL, we see more of this, of guys kind of doing a load management game in the middle of the season just to make sure you're good for the rest of the year?
Well, just to clarify, did you say mentality or mantality? Because I know you've got some, you've used that phrase before as well. All right, look, I think that we're not anywhere near the NBA load management realm.
And I'm not even suggesting that this is load management, because this is obviously a legitimate injury. And,
sure, right.
And obviously, like, to me, the NFL is just such a different mentality, just because even if you go to 18 games, like 18 versus 82 that you see in the NBA, it's just totally different. But I guess the NFL version, of load management in my mind would be a situation like this. Like, okay, mm-hmm. Maybe if you miss this game, yeah, could you play? Yeah, but you're beat up because everybody is, because it's the NFL. Why don't you just take this game, let the backup handle it, and then you're good to go the rest of the way? I mean, I just see that potentially being more normal in the NFL future, especially once we get to 18.
Beautifully explained. You saved me the effort of agreeing with you. So, yes, I think that's exactly what it is.
Okay.
Huh. All right.
Sorry, Strofe.
I was kicking back, kicking the feet up, listening to you two discuss this, because I've talked to Jason plenty. I've talked to Josh plenty. Obviously, I'm Mr. Relevant. I talked to you plenty off the air. I just wanted to see how we would end on this at the end of the week, but I'm sure we'll talk about it more on Green Bay Game Day. Something else I want to talk about on Green Bay Game Day, but also want to talk to you about right now, Jason, is you told me yesterday on Weekly Will that you're not a big prediction guy, correct?
Very much correct, yes. People get very angry if you don't pick their team, which I just don't understand, but yes, go ahead.
You did make a prediction on Weekly Wildy, and I don't know how firm you are in this prediction, but you said something to the effect
of, I don't even remember it.
it's obviously something he believes wholeheartedly.
You believe this will be the game the Packers finally start forcing turnovers consistently, because J.J. McCarthy has played in five games and thrown at least one interception in all five of them for Minnesota. Why does mm-hmm. this feel like the week that this defense can finally start turning over the ball to you?
Because Xavier McKinney told me so.
That's good reason.
The good source will come. Quote. Yeah. Look, this is. They had obviously ample opportunities against famous Jameis last Sunday, I think, they're pretty embarrassed, frankly, by how many they dropped. I mean, that's the difference, as we all know. You know, everybody wants the Packers to win every week 38-10. Well, you look back on that game against the Giants, that's exactly what it could have been, right? I mean, first of all, you take two touchdowns theoretically off the board because the interceptions occurred, and then they went on long drive. The interceptions were dropped, I should say, and then they went on the long drives that ended in touchdowns. Two of the three times they scored touchdowns, it was with a dropped interception earlier in the drive. And then you convert those to points instead of it being 27-20. Mm-hmm. You know, it's potentially 38-10 or 34-10, whatever it might be. So I look at this as it's, you can feel it coming, like a earthquake, the pre tremors. And I think that their hope is that this was one of those things where, okay, we didn't capitalize on it, but we're putting ourselves in better position. I will say this, and you know, I get teased because I have an affinity for Jeff Hafley, but the fact of the matter is that this is a huge hole in their otherwise impressive defensive resume, and if they're going to be anywhere close to where they want to get in the postseason, they have to take the ball away more. They have to give their offense short fields. They have to, you know, snuff out possessions by their opponents much earlier instead of, I mean, my goodness, two of those drives by the Giants, like they lost the time of possession battle 36-24, and yet they still won the game. Like you just, that doesn't happen normally.
Mm-hmm. Jason, yeah. We've been waiting for a year and a half for one of these wide receivers to emerge. Somebody step up, somebody show. Is Christian Watson the only one in your mind that over the last 2 years has shown growth?
That's an interesting question. Hey, thank you, Strolf. Took the words right out of my mouth. I would say this. I think he has, first of all, he's been incredibly impressive since he returned.
Mm-hmm.
And it does make you wonder where he'd be if Romeo Doubs didn't get the flu for the regular season finale and Christian Watson doesn't play, right? Because then he's got, it, theoretically, he's healthy all season, and now he's got 10 games instead of 4 games of what he's done this year. But he's been really, really impressive. I would say he had, obviously, a lot of room to grow. As good as North Dakota State is as a Division I AA or FCS school, he came in, and Tausch always teases me, misquotes me. But he was wiry. I mean, now he's a grown man. Like he is not just a skinny fast guy. And so I think he's grown in a ton of ways. Certainly in terms of, he is so beloved and respected in that locker room on the offensive side of the ball. He just seems to do everything right. So yes, I think he has shown a ton of growth. You know, I don't know, like, I wouldn't say that Jaden Reed hasn't. Like, obviously, he had that stretch last season down the stretch where he wasn't super productive.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of those guys that was just banged up to beat the band. But he, you know, I think he's the other guy that I think you have to keep, in my opinion. And that's not a slight on Romeo Doubs. You know, I just think that those are the two guys that I would have the most trust in. And I'm curious to see if that's what ends up happening long term.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to those two specifically, like they had, like the knock on Jaden coming into this year after his first 2 years is, against man coverage, he kind of struggles.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have the opportunity to show if that's something that he's improved upon because unfortunately got injured so early. For Christian Watson, over, and granted it's been a longer period of time, obviously, that, you know, than Jaden Reed, but he's just this, you know, you saw him as this tall guy. Oh, high point the football, win these jump balls.
Wiry.
And that's all we would want from him those first couple of years, Jason, and it didn't happen. And I think of the touchdown, as impressive as the throw was, the catch was just as good. And I don't know if Christian Watson 2 years ago makes that play.
No, and in fairness, and one of the other things I like about him and guys in general who own their mistakes Like when somebody tweets out the video of him defending against the deep pass and it hits
having
him
it
in the
back
helmet.
Of the helmet, yeah.
And somebody suggests that he should have caught it. Instead of ignoring it, he retweets it and says, yes,
yes.
He should have. Like, I, you know, again, he's not perfect, but I think you're right about the level of growth. I think his growth surpasses any of his fellow wide receivers at this point.
I'm really hung up on the way you phrase that. He's the only one that's shown growth?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
I might.
So, I mean, Romeo.
Well, the Reed part is hard because he's hurt.
Because he's hurt. Romeo, I think, has shown growth personally. I don't think he's shown any growth on the football field.
Yeah, he shows emotion now. He celebrates now. That's growth.
He's the same player that he was basically since he got here.
Mostly reliable. I was actually surprised by the drops last week. I'm not too worried about that as a long-term thing for him. But is his play significantly better than it was a year ago for Romeo? The answer is no.
Same thing with Dontavian.
Well, shoot. You could argue it's worse this year because he hasn't played. Malik Heath. He's grown, right? Well, and then he gets suspended last week.
He did not get suspended. He got deactivated and left home. He was not suspended.
Yeah, but okay. Do we
step
have any
below suspension?
Do we have any answers on why, or they're just not going to tell us anything?
I asked him six ways to Sunday, and he all the things he said it wasn't. I have no idea then what it must have been.
Like he's
now he walks by and just laughs now because he knows that I think he's a knucklehead for not answering the questions.
Okay,
Jason, we certainly appreciate the time. Look forward to you hearing you more on Wilde and Tausch, and we will talk to you Sunday at the Tundra Trail.
Jason, noon game. Be there at 10 o'clock, please.
Thank you very much. I look forward to it, boys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It is back. Black Friday at the Ewald Automotive Group. It's their biggest event yet. Shop with vehicles up to 10,000 off or 0% financing or zero down. They'll do whatever it takes to move all remaining 2025s. Their biggest savings of the year, lowest interest rates, maximum trade-in values. Plus a huge selection because it's only at Ewald. Black Friday, it's back now at Ewald, every Ewald location. It all starts at ewaldauto.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Come on, guys, let's think about this. Could you do 50 straight days of burgers?
That was very condescending.
Let's put our heads together.
Again, I have children. I know condescending when I hear it.
Come on,
on 94.5 ESPN.